congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Lamb of God who came to lift up all the sins of his people, the one who came to die for such sinners, those who are very willing to betray him, to deny him, and to run away for them. He is the one who came to die for such sinners. For these sinners, he came and suffered. Lord, as we meditate on all the shadows that you have given us in your word, lift up Christ before our eyes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We'll continue our study of Leviticus. And last time, if you recall, we talked about the sacrificial system and certain elements or certain characteristics of the sacrificial system. But today we will talk about offering a sacrifice. We will go deeper to the offering of the sacrifice itself in Leviticus. So today we will talk about offering a sacrifice. And I'd like to remind you why sacrifices were needed. Again, if you read the end of the book of Exodus, the tabernacle is there. The glory of God came on the tabernacle, and Moses himself can't enter, can't come close. So the goal of the sacrificial system, the goal of what we see in the book of Leviticus, how such sinners come close to God. The tabernacle is there, the Lord is present among his people, but they can't approach. They can't come to the mountain. Again, this reminds us of the scene in the garden. After Adam and Eve were expelled with all their descendants, how can they come back? And the Lord is showing us, for my people to come back, this is the way. And this is clear in verse 2 from Leviticus 1. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord. I said this last time, the word offering in the original, and it's in the Arabic very clear, literally means something that will bring me closer to the Lord. It's not just you offer him something. It's something that will bring you closer to him. You're not just appeasing an angry God. This is not the sin, or this is not the only element of the sacrifice that God is angry against sin. This is an element. But the sacrifice is bigger than that. It's how can we approach, come, draw near to the holy God? How can we come to him into his mountain? So this is in general the meaning of the atonement. And this is what the Lord is doing to the people of Israel as a whole. This is what he has done with them from Egypt. We said last time, for them to get out of Egypt, the Lord gave them the Passover lamb. The Passover lamb must die. There must be death. There must be a sacrifice. There must be purification, get out of Egypt. But why? Why there must be a sacrifice? Why should they get purified out of Egypt? Because they are going to meet God. They are going to be restored to His presence. For them to come to the mountain of the Lord, Mount Sinai. These things must happen. A lamb must be killed. The sin must be dealt with. And they must get out of Egypt. They can't be with God while being in Egypt, while being in the midst of sin. And this is what we'll see in details in the sacrificial system. So I will meditate with you on some elements in offering the sacrifice. And the first element that I will talk about is the presentation of the animal. What kind of animal are they going to bring to the Lord? Let's go again to the text in verse 2 and 3. Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntarily. Well, the sacrifice must be flawless. Without blemish, without any weakness, without any sickness. And I'll talk practically, because many Israelites, through the history of the people of Israel with God, they tried to offer God what is sick, what is bad, what is going to die anyway. They don't want to lose. They want to keep their money. Thinking of Judas, as we have heard this morning, he preferred money over Christ, over God. And sometimes the Israelites would do the same. They want to look like religious. So they would do some religious work, but their heart is exposed. It's clear that it is not pure. They are just bringing the sick, the weak. We read this in the book of Malachi. Open with me Malachi 1. We'll see a glimpse of what they were doing. In verse 6. A son honoreth his father and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? The Lord is talking to them. And if I be a master, where is my fear? Said the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Talking to the priest. Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Said the Lord of hosts. And now I pray you, beseech God, that he will be gracious unto us. This has been by your means. Will he regard your persons? Says the Lord of hosts. He's accusing them in this text. You wouldn't give this to your governor. You wouldn't give your neighbor something that has a problem, because you know that he will see it, he will know it. And you think the Lord will not know? Very similar to what we were listening to this morning. Do you think, Judas, that the Lord would not know what you're doing? If you're doing some religious act, just externally, but you know that you're not coming with your all heart. You're not bringing your all heart before the Lord. And you think he will not see, he will not know? Many Israelites try to do this. And sometimes I think of the priests who were receiving the sacrifices from the people of Israel. If this priest is a corrupt priest, in order to compliment a worshiper, okay, bring it on. We'll just offer it. You'll be fine. or if this priest is a godly priest, he may have opposition. Someone will bring a sacrifice with which is sick or which is blind, and he would say, no, I can't offer this. I can't offer this. And there will be pressure from the worshiper. No, you would, especially if he's maybe rich, maybe strong, maybe famous. No, you will do this. And the priest would say, no, I can't do this. But the Lord insists that the sacrifice must be without blame, blameless. A perfect sacrifice, a flawless animal. And a flawless animal is a representation of a flawless person. A person without blemish. It represents a life of complete devotion to the Lord. And this tells us who can approach to the Lord. Who can approach the Lord? Psalm 15 tells us he's the one who is perfect, who can come to the Lord. And this sacrifice, which is going to be offered to the Lord, to be a smelling savor to him, it must be without blemish. And we know that we are not this person. But as we heard this morning, our sacrifice was without blame. For the Lord to accept us in his presence, in Christ, Christ must be without any sin. He must be sinless so that the Lord may receive him. Not just as a sacrifice, not just to kill him, but to be in his presence. And if we come to the Lord, if we come closer to the mountain, if we come to the Holy of Holies, we are only coming because there is a blameless person. He went ahead of us. And in him we can come and approach. Because God will not tolerate any sin. He's holy. That's why the only way we can be accepted is through a blameless sacrifice. The New Testament teaches us this again and again. The one who knew no sin was made sin for us, right? The book of Hebrews, see how the book of Hebrews brings this picture as a whole, that because he's with no sin, we can approach. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Only in the name of this high priest we can come close. He was the high priest who was without sin, and he was the sacrifice which was without sin. Even his enemies couldn't find him anything. He was blameless. And if you are in this person, you have this boldness because he's without sin. So Lord, in the name of your Son, that's what we say in our prayer. In the name of Christ, we come and pray. We come close. We come to the throne of grace. So in order to bring a sacrifice, to be offered to God, to go to the Holy of Holies, it must be without sin. And Christ was this sacrifice that was without sin. So this is the first element in the sacrifice. The second element that's happening in this text is laying the hands. Laying the hands on the sacrifice. Verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand, upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. So the priest receives the sacrifice, they receive the animal, and he checks it's without any problem, without fault. Okay, we can offer this. But before offering, before slaughtering it, something must happen. The worshiper comes and put his hand over the sacrifice. And the question is, why? The offerer, the worshiper, put his hand on the sacrifice? Maybe to say it belongs to him? I don't think so. He already brought it and the priest examined it. Something, well, maybe when he put his hand on it, his sin is transferred to the lamb, and that's why it's killed. I don't think this is the image here, and I'll tell you why. Keep this open, get this text open, and open with me Leviticus chapter 16. We'll see another scene where laying of hands had to do with, or has to do with the transfer of sin. But this is not the image in Leviticus 1, I will argue. In Leviticus 16, verse 21. And Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat, and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel, and all the transgressions in all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. So in the day of the atonement, two goats are presented in the tabernacle. One goat is killed and offered as a sin offering. And the blood of this goes up to the Holy of Holies. This is happening on the Day of the Atonement. But there was another goat that is not killed. And this is the goat that we just read about. They don't kill this goat. And on this day, the high priest will put both hands on the head of the goat and confess the sin of his people. And then what happened with this goat, which carries the sin of these people, it's sent away. They send it away in the wilderness. This is not what we read in Leviticus 1. In Leviticus 1, we see the sacrifice is being offered to God. It goes up, as we'll see later. And we don't read that there are any confessions of sins as this is happening in Leviticus 1. If you notice in Leviticus 16, the priest confessed the sins. So what is going on in Leviticus 1? In Leviticus 1, the goat or this sacrifice is representing the worshiper. As the worshiper lay his hands on it, he is saying, I am united to this sacrifice. It's not just this sacrifice will die in my place. As this sacrifice is dying, it is me dying. I am being united with this sacrifice. Yes, I did not die myself, but through its death, I died. Does this sound similar to something else to you? Very similar to what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. In Christ, I died. It's not just Christ died for me. I died in him. In him. With Christ, I was crucified. And this is what's happening in this scene. The sacrifice is representing the worshiper. And as the worshiper should die, and his death is happening figuratively in this sacrifice that is being offered. So it is not only a substitute for him, but it represents him. And as this sacrifice will turn to smoke and ascend to the presence of God. It is as if the worshiper himself is ascending to the presence of God in this sacrifice. And no one can ascend to this presence unless he is without blame. So when we think of Christ as a substitute for us, we can't think of Christ as a substitute without thinking of us being united with him. He can only die in our place if we are united in him. Without union, without Christ being representing us, he can't be a substitute with us. And for us to be exempt from our death, we must die. And our death took place in the death of Christ. So it's not just that he died and we did not, we died in him. And that's why we are freed, because it is in his death God's judgment came upon us. And now we are freed. We can be forgiven. And this takes me to the third element in this scene. And this element is the slaughtering. We're trying to follow the steps. What's happening? One step after the other in the offering of the sacrifices. They bring it to the priest. The priest examines it, make sure that it's without blame. And then the worshiper lays his hand on it to say, this sacrifice represents me. What's going to happen to it? It's happening to me. And now what's going to happen? After laying the hand, read verse 5. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's son, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round upon the altar. In this ritual, as the worshiper himself, who is united now with the sacrifice, is killing the sacrifice, he's saying, this is what I deserve. This is what I deserve, to be slaughtered. He's not exempting himself. He's saying, I'm a sinner and I deserve God's judgment for my sin. So it's not, the scene is not, well, I put my sin on the lamb and now I am without sin. My sin has been transferred and so this lamb dies. This is not the scene. It's me dying being represented in this lamb. And these are my sins. I deserve to die this kind of death. This is what the Lord says. The soul that sins must die. And there is no salvation without death. Since the fall, no one can be exempted from punishment unless he goes through death. And I mean not just physical death. The full punishment of sin. And either the person will take it on himself or either he will take it in Christ. There is no way out. And the Lord has been giving us this picture again and again and again. Think again of the Exodus. And the way he saved Israel from Egypt. When the people get out of Egypt, we have seen that scene where they go through the Red Sea. And the Red Sea, the water came upon the Egyptians. But it's interesting how the Lord saved them from that scene. He did not give them a way outside of the water. He made them to go through the water of judgment. And passing through the water of judgment, they were saved. So they were not saved because they went around the judgment. In fact, they were saved by going through the judgment. And the scene becomes clearer and clearer in a previous scene, in the flood. Think of the water of the flood, another scene of judgment through water. And what happened in this scene? The water of judgment come upon the world. And how did the Lord save Noah and his family? Not by taking them away from where the judgment is. In fact, they were saved by going through the judgment. They were in the ark, which received all the water around it. And going through the ark, going through this water of death, they came out of it after the judgment is gone. They went through the judgment in the ark. And then we read in the New Testament how Christ is showing us what's going to happen in his death. In the scene when he went to John the Baptist. And he went to the baptism. Where he goes to the water of judgment. This baptism where John was preaching about the forgiveness of sins and repentance. You should repent. Where people would go, they confess their sin. And here comes the lamb without blame, the blameless lamb, the one who is without sin, going to this same water of repentance. What's happening? He is going through the water of judgment. And whoever is united in this Lamb of God, he will go with him through the water without being touched himself by the water. And as Christ comes out of the water of judgment, after going through it, we are with him. We would come up with him to the presence of God. This is the scene that's happening before us in the sacrifice. This sacrifice is being slaughtered. And only because we are slaughtered in Christ, we can come back to the presence of God. Without this death, it is not possible to worship and to draw close to God. I think I'll stop here because the other elements will take more time. Next time, we'll speak about more elements about the sacrifices. So let's pray now. Our Heavenly Father, what a glorious gospel that you are bringing before us as we read your word again and again. You are showing us your mercy, the sacrifice that you have supplied for sinners such as us. You have sent a lamb without blame, not just an animal. You sent your beloved son to be a man like us and to live this perfect life without sin. To represent sinners like us and to be slaughtered for our sins so that we may have life in his life, so that we may come closer to the presence of God. Lord, we praise your name because you are the one who reconciled the world to yourself in your beloved Son. Lord, prepare our hearts this week as we meditate in these truths of forgiveness of sins in the beloved Son, as we prepare our hearts to come and eat from this bread and drink from this cup, and to say with Paul, with Christ, I was crucified. And now the life I live, it is the life of the one who died for my sins and was raised again. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.